Welcome back. Well, retailer of building materials and associated products, Cashbuild, released its interim results today. Revenue up 3%, but that being offset by a 7% increase in operating expenses, which took operating profit lower and overall resulted in an 11% drop in earnings. Still, the company says it will continue its store expansion, relocation and refurbishment strategy. Radna Diyakha, CEO of Cashbuild, joins us now in studio with more perspective on those numbers. So you may have been able to eke out some revenue gain as you opened a few more stores, but even that not managing to translate into operating profit or through to the bottom line. If we use Cashbuild as a barometer of the bucky industry in South Africa, the DIY segment of the economy, what's the reading?
So the DIY sector probably a bit more under pressure than the bucky brigade, as we call them. And we can see it in our transactions. The basket is bigger, so it means there's more of the bucky builders that generally buy more at a time than your true retail DIY customers coming through. So it's an indication of tough times for the consumer out there.
Okay, so reflective of challenging trading conditions and subdued consumer sentiment, are you surprised at, you know, what little impact Ramaphosa and government working to get to grips with corruption and mismanagement has had on sentiment within the space?
Probably not. You know, we expected that things would not step up till the election, because there's a lot of uncertainty and a lot of capital being held back, I think, till the election is done. So I don't think we were surprised. We sort of expected a tough 6 months, and we also said that when we entered into the 6 months.
So in your books, what happens post the elections?
We believe that structures will get in place and service delivery will pick up again, and we've got lots of faith that the president will sort out the structures properly, and we won't benefit necessarily directly from new housing development, but the more houses out there, the more refurbishments and the more repairs and maintenance need to be done. And that's right up our alley in terms of who's our customers.
Is it as simple as that, Werner? Just government commitment at the end of the day to ignite a fire, ignite momentum into this economy?
Yes, I mean, employment, one can't overlook that. And I mean, certainly the noise from government is that they're not going to stimulate employment in government sector. But there it's a private sector that, you know, these houses, the delivery of houses, delivery of infrastructure, you know, it improves a lot of work opportunities in the private sector. And that's where we see benefit for us.
Okay. In the interim, you're left battling it out. Of course, at the moment, you're catering to a cash-paying customer base through your stores. Does what's playing out within the local economy with retail customers under increasing pressure start getting you thinking about, you know, opening up your exposure to the credit market at all in order to spur top-line growth?
So we do have a credit partner in Nedbank in our stores. So there is in each of our stores in South Africa a credit offer. It's not a big portion of our business, but it does generate a fair amount of turnover in a year. Mm-hmm. So we haven't decided to open it up. We also want to be responsible. We don't want to be part of the reason for people being over-indebted, because I think a lot of the issues that we're sitting with now is that the consumers are paying interest at the end of the month. We're not seeing the month-end peaks as we used to see it. And I think that's part of the reason why we're seeing that.
Okay, so where then does more of your focus lie when it comes to sustaining the business through it all? Because operating expenses, including new stores, seemingly already well controlled, as I said at the top, increasing 7%, and one assumes that you don't have much wiggle room on that front to improve on those metrics much.
Yeah, so, you know, we don't necessarily have the luxury of cutting a shift out of production or something like that. You know, we need to make serious decisions in closing a store. And if you decide to close a store, you must not want to go back there in the next year or two, because somebody else would have taken your space. Mm-hmm. A lot of the towns that we're in, there's only one retail shopping center. And if we're in that, we guard against making decisions that in the long term will not be beneficial to the business. So, you know, we're not at the stage that we believe there's knee-jerk reactions necessary. If you look at the existing business, a 5.8% return, a few years ago, we would have been very happy about it. So I think we're not at the point we want to make drastic steps. Having said that, we have closed a number of stores, not many. We've closed six in total this half. But we'll continue that. If we believe there's a new norm, then obviously we'll need to take more drastic measures.
Overall, then, are you sticking to your expansion strategy, because you had in target 20 new stores by the end of 2019?
Yes, so we've done eight of them, and we won't get to the 20. We'll get to the 10 cash builds. The one that's lagging is the P&L store. So we'll end up with three P&Ls for the year, having done two already. So that's where we're lagging behind a bit. But we're still working on one or two things on the model that we need to just hone in before we aggressively roll out that brand.
Of course, because it's quite a dynamic that you've got to balance, and a quite a fine balancing act that you've got to perform, where going overboard, I guess, poses significant risk to throwing your cost base then off kilter.
For sure. I mean, the if you look at the existing business, 3% cost growth is excellent, but you can't continue that forever and a day. You need to get the top line in. So, but opening stores now, if it makes financial sense and there's a market where we have not penetrated, we must do it. And again, I come back to, there's a shopping center that gets developed in a town where we want to be in. We won't have a second bite at the cherry. We need to take that space now.
How targeted is your approach? Because you've spoken before, as you've done now, about gaps in the market that you are looking to penetrate.
So we've done a very detailed exercise. So when we say we want to get to 320 cash-built stores, we've got names for them. We know exactly where the areas is that we want to be in. So it's not a number that we just picked out of the sky. There was proper process that we went through to get to those numbers.
Let's leave it there, Werner. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. That, of course, Werner de Jager, CEO of Cashbold.